Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Oh my gosh! I am in love with your city! You guys are so spoiled. It's so beautiful. I love Canada. You guys are showing off. Thank you, Pastor Jess, and just the biggest love. You guys can take your seats. Sit down, sit down. We're going to get cozy here today. I just really do love your pastors, and I just want to take a moment to acknowledge them because, oh my goodness, you guys are spoiled. You need to know what incredible, fearless leaders you have, and Pastor Jess and Pastor Sam. I mean, not only does she look amazing for being 6 months pregnant up here, but, you know, you have two phenomenal leaders who are unashamedly fighting for what God wants to do in this city. And so what an honor it is that we get to come together on a Sunday and allow the presence of God to come and make a transaction in our lives so we can take it out beyond these four walls and expand it to the greater good of Toronto, right? I am no stranger to C3. I grew up in C3. I started going to C3 when I was 14 years old in Atlanta, Georgia. So I am a good Southern girl coming to you from the States. And Jake, you know, if you know a bit of his story, he was actually born into the movement of C3. Like, you don't get more C3 than Jake. So between the two of us, we know and understand the value of what it is to do life together. And so we truly have cherished these moments to just spend the last 24 hours in companionship with Pastors Jess and Sam. And isn't it great to do life together? Right? I mean, the power of coming together. You know, you hear the saying that two heads are better than one, right? That we are better together. You might have heard fun phrases like, you're the apple to my pie, you're the cream to my coffee, the cheese to my macaroni, you're the salt to my pepper, the peanut butter to my jelly, right? Duos. And from this short list alone, you would acknowledge and agree with me that two is indeed better than one. In fact, to be just left with one, you'd be left just sitting by yourself with an empty pie and bland noodles. You'd be hyped up on bitter coffee, and you'd be on the verge of a sugar crash because of the lack of protein in your sandwich. You know, there is an entire market out there just based on these principles of things that are meant to go together. Right? And to forego one without the other, well, in fact, you'd be significantly underplaying the fullness of the flavor. You would be dramatically cutting into your experience. And so that took me down a train of thought. I wonder what other powerful duos or partnerships have we divided based off of our personal preference or negligence of being a one-sided coin in life. You know, in Mark 10:9, it says, what God joins together, let no man separate. And that word joining together, meaning yoke together, in the concept of marriage. But see, God has married together principles that you and I are meant to live together in, to receive the fullness of his blessing. Concepts like truth and love. Truth and love, two powerful, all-encompassing principles that we have to coexist together in. Because if you have all truth and no love, well, heck, we'll just be struck and stricken by its absolute potent nature. And to have all love and no truth, we'll just be mushy, coddled puddles of a mess, unable to understand all that we could truly go out and conquer with a conviction of truth on our side. Right? And then we have grace and mercy, another famous duo, right? But with all grace and no mercy, we'll find ourselves erring on the side of pride, with a lack of humility, short-sighted from understanding just truly how undeserving we are from this great blessing. But if we have all mercy and no grace, well, then we'll just find ourselves pinned down, unable to feel like we can move beyond this amazing point of the bestowal of utter forgiveness, free, that has been given to us. And then we have this another famous duo, wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding, another famous marriage that the world has fallen into a cycle of separating. And so now we are the generation of its damaged and bruised children from this all too common divorce. wisdom and understanding. Now, some of you might be thinking, now, Nicole, isn't wisdom and understanding kind of two words for the same thing? I'm so glad you asked. See, wisdom is like going to the movies. I'm going to pick out my favorite film, like Titanic. Like, I grew up learning about Titanic. We know the story. It's 4 hours long. You might feel very invested in the film. You might feel very connected to Jack and Rose in Titanic. In fact, you feel so connected that you know them so well that if somehow Jack managed to shimmy his body on that door and they made it home and got married, you might get invited to the wedding. But after the film is done and you go home, that film has left no lasting impact on your life except for maybe a few tears on your cheek. But see, understanding. Understanding is participating in the composing of the film. It's being a director, a producer, a writer, an actor. It's actually having context of putting it together, memorizing the lines, building the set. And that is an experience that will leave a lasting impression on your life, right? You'll have new skill sets. You'll refine old skill sets. You'll have new relationships. You have deepened existing relationships. And therein lies the difference of wisdom and understanding. But for some of us, the idols of feelings has come in and it's wedged a division between our wisdom and understanding. We have forsaken the wisdom of heaven for the knowledge of what we feel. And because of this, it has fostered in us a broken decision mechanism that is reflected through the same worn paths in the around the same mountain. And so around and around we go with our resume of actions, just reflecting how divided our wisdom and understanding has become in life. For others of us, we have spent our lives seeking out godly wisdom. We have spent all of our time taking in every nugget and morsel we can possibly consume and contain. But where we have tipped the scale in consumption, fear has come in and it has divided us from enjoying and showcasing its fruit and output in our lives. See, the application of wisdom, that is understanding, it has gone greatly underutilized in our lives, and we have become frustrated from the lack of progression that we have seen. And so we have been quick to forget the most recent download that we've been given through our inability to put it into action. See, we get caught in this cycle of just binge watching wisdom, consuming wisdom. You hear the latest podcast. You read the latest self-help book. You go to your boss, to that leader. You get the best tip and trick that you can get. But because we're unable to put it into practice, we think, I don't see anything changing. So this no longer works for me or applies to me. So you go on to the next podcast. You go on to the next message. You go on to the next book, perpetuating this divorce between wisdom and understanding. But see, we move from just being a spectator to a participator of wisdom when we get understanding. See, all throughout Proverbs, when you read about wisdom and understanding, they are a matched duo. It says, seek wisdom, but get understanding. In fact, in Job 28:28, it tells us, it defines for us that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To turn away from evil, that is understanding. So once again, here is the difference. To action, the wisdom is the understanding. Are you with me here this morning? See, we are in a day and age where I fail to see the fruit of the unlimited access that we have to wisdom and knowledge. We have to be careful that just because we can know more quicker, we aren't necessarily always better for it. And I find myself part of a generation in which we have become grossly immersed in wisdom, but for some reason we aren't maturing quicker. In fact, we aren't invincible to life issues, and somehow it's in fact made us more susceptible to life issues. Because when you have an overdose on wisdom and a deficiency in understanding, we find ourselves more easily offendable. We hold grudges longer. We're slower to forgive. We're more self-centered than ever. We have more fear and more anxiety that we carry into our tomorrow. And so I'm telling us here today, C3 Toronto, can we bring understanding back to the conversation? You know, it's understanding is where the light bulb goes off. It's the aha moment in life where you can go through the pain, the obstacles, and the challenges, and you can stand and realize that God is so with you, that God is present, that He is near you. And when we get understanding is when we get the maturity in the character of Christ. So we're going to talk about this today, this concept called Let's Get Together. Let's Get Together, wisdom and understanding. Will you pray with me one more time here this morning? Morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every son and daughter in this place. God, I thank you for C3 Toronto. I thank you for this incredible church, Lord, and the work of God that they are doing in this city. Father, I pray that this word will go forward. Holy Spirit, that you are in this place and that you are illuminating the minds and hearts of your people. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, have you ever been given bad directions and gotten lost? Yes. Okay, so where Jake and I live in LA, the street we live on is a very long road, and in fact, there are two of the same addresses. Okay, so our address exists in our city, 317 San Pasqual, South Pasadena. You go a mile up the road, and there's a 317 San Pasqual, Los Angeles. Okay, so maps will auto-correct you to the Los Angeles address. So if I do not give, like, explicit directions on the color of the fence in the yard, what I live across the street from, my closest cross street, like, delivery men will not find themselves at my door. So I have lost a mattress to that other address. I have lost Instacart deliveries to that address. I have lost my Chipotle delivery to this address. And so before we dive into understanding, we have to take an assessment. What are we putting in? What is the wisdom that we are consuming, right? Because there's a lot of good advice out there. There's good tips and tricks and hacks to make life easier, but there is only one source that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword that will transform the way you live, and that is the Word of God. And so that is the wisdom that I want us to remember as we dive into this scripture. In James 1, 22 through 25, do you have your Bible with you here this morning? There should be a giant version on the screen behind me. It says, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently on his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." See, I feel there's some people here that are frustrated. Where is my blessing? And we have to stop and take an assessment. What have we been doing? See, when we carry a deficiency in our understanding, wisdom cannot stick in our lives. We look in the mirror and we walk away and instantly forget what we have seen. We've seen our natural face, but we haven't stopped to apply the wisdom of God to see His glory reflected in our lives. And that's what leaves a lasting impression on us. It's like all my college students out there, right? We cram and we cram for our exams. You pull the all-nighters and you pass the test. You get the A. And then literally 48 hours, you cannot recall a single fact that you just took a test on. Is that only me? But it's because we don't continually apply it, right? In Hebrews 5:12, Paul writes about how you ought to be teachers, but you still need someone to teach you. Some of us, there are areas in our lives where we should be teaching and showing others, saying, "I got over that mountain. I know how to get through that valley." But you still find yourself stuck in that cycle, in that path around the mountain, and you should be teaching other people. See, I have a 5-year-old boy, Winston. I have a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old. And my 5-year-old, he is a spirited child. He's that child where parents are like, "He's going to be a leader one day." And I know what that's code for. And so he started kindergarten this year, and he has a strong sense of justice in him. So if someone does something to him that he doesn't like, he will stand up for himself, which is a part of me as his mama where I'm like, yes, you know? But he's also breaking the rules, because generally standing up for himself involves some sort of physical contact. And so in the school that he goes to, that's like no-go zone. So my child has been to the principal's office not once, not twice, but 3 times within the first month and a half of starting kindergarten. I know. It's okay. I'm raising a mini Jake. Just pray for me. He turned out good. But on the second time of him going to the principal's office, his little buddy had to go with him who was involved in the altercation. And the teacher told me that Winston was walking to the principal's office and just turns to his friend and says, "Don't worry. I've been here before. Just do what I do." I'm like, hey. But I look at him like, shouldn't you know better? Like, we can hear Mama's voice, right? Shouldn't you know better? And I don't know about you, but when I read the story of the disciples and their interactions with Jesus, like, I find myself thinking that constantly. Like, shouldn't you know better by now? Like, you've been walking with Jesus for some time. Like, you've seen some things. You've heard some things. Shouldn't you know better? And so I want to look at one of these instances with him. In Mark chapter 8, there's this story where he has just fed the 4,000. This is the second time that he's multiplied the bread and the fish to feed thousands of people, right? Like, the disciples have witnessed this now for a second time. And for a second time, they climb into the boat and they sail away with Jesus. And for the second time, they start to get hungry. And they start to take an inventory and start to grumble about how there's a lack of food in the boat. And Jesus, hearing this, picking it up in verse 17, says, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him with their tail between their legs, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said, "Do you not yet understand?" See, the question we have to ask ourselves is, shouldn't you know better? But do you not yet understand? And so we're going to get it today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Because the truth is, they should have known better. This was their second time to the rodeo, the second time witnessing this miracle, the second time being in a boat with no food, and they still didn't get it. And the fact is, there's areas in our lives where we just still don't understand or get it. And so I want to diagnose for us the symptoms of an understanding deficiency in our lives. The first symptom where you have understanding deficiency is where your faith is shrinking. See, understanding requires action, right? Faith is action to our belief. So without understanding, our faith muscle, it's not being used. It's not being worked. And so thus we'll find it shrinking in our lives. The disciples sat in a boat with Jesus, who could be like, "Fish, jump in the boat and feed my friends." But they didn't stop to ask. They asked each other, "What are we going to do? We don't have any bread and I'm hungry." See, this is that area in your life where, you know, you get asked to step into a new space of ownership, step into a new space of responsibility, step into a new place of leadership or sacrifice, or try something new that you've never done before. And you're like, "No, thanks, not today. I'm okay. This isn't my time. This isn't my season." But wisdom tells us God is able. You can do all things. I mean, we love quoting those scriptures. But when the time arises, we haven't applied the wisdom. And so we just simply excuse ourselves from the opportunities. We excuse ourselves from activating wisdom, activating our faith muscle. In Proverbs 2:11, it tells us that discretion watches over us, but its understanding will guard you. See, when we apply godly wisdom in our life, it will take you to new places and spaces that you've never been before. And that's where you get to take that step of faith. That's when you get to activate that faith muscle. When I was growing up in Atlanta, I did my best as a good Christian girl growing up in the South, you know, being planted in the house of God, and I knew that's where I needed to be. So I would commute an hour and a half to get to college every day so that I could keep my part-time job on staff and stay and keep His house a priority and building that space. And then the time came where I got a knock on my office door, and my pastor came in and said, something's brewing, sister. Literally, that's what he told me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What is happening? And moments later, he would ask me to go and join the team to plant a church in Los Angeles. Had I not been applying wisdom in my life to keep God first, to build his house, would I have found myself in an opportunity to take a step of faith, to move across the country and be walking out a life that is far beyond anything that I could think or imagine? See, understanding guards us. When you read about the armor of God in Ephesians, it says that faith is the shield. It protects us. So often we're excusing ourselves from opportunity because we're fearful, we're scared, we carry doubt. But God has set this up beautifully for us, that by stepping out in godly wisdom and having the shield of faith with it, that is what actually will protect us and guard us. Don't allow a lack of understanding to draw a line of boundaries of what you can do when you step in to your belief in Christ. Don't allow the possibility of pain to hold you back from the possibility of what God can do through and in you when you allow your belief to become activated in your faith. There's some of us here, we need to pull a Patrick Swayze on our doubt and go to them and be like, ain't nobody putting baby in the corner. And we need to step out and activate it. Don't let fear tell you that playing it smart is playing it safe. Sometimes playing it smart is playing a step of faith. Amen? Amen. The next symptom of understanding deficiency is going to be your capacity will begin to dwindle. It will begin to shrink. This is your emotional, your mental capacity, right? Faith is what you can do. Capacity is like mentally, emotionally what we can handle in life. See, the disciples sat in that boat and they were so small-minded. They didn't see the power and the authority that was available to them in that moment. Can we not be a people who we lose sight of what has been made available to us through Christ Jesus? Can we remember that we've been given the Holy Spirit within us that will empower us to expand our capacity as we step out in godly wisdom? See, this is that area in your life where every little splinter creates the greatest overreaction in your life. This is where we need to build up some endurance and resilience in our life. You know that moment where you're like, okay, I'm going to activate the wisdom to be generous. Those who water others will themselves be refreshed. Yep, holding on to that one. I'm going to step out and sow. And then boom, you get hit with the tax bill. You get hit with the car payment that you weren't expecting, the thing, the bill, the ticket, whatever it is. And you're like, okay, I guess, yep, that I can't afford this now. So just going to scrape that one off. Or, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to take a step to expand my career. I'm going to step up in leadership in a new way. And then you have to have that moment where you get feedback on your performance and how you've been going. And it's constructive feedback. And you're like, well, I guess I wasn't made for this. I have to completely reanalyze my career moves. This is that area. But we have to create an endurance, a resilience within us, that opposition doesn't mean you're off target. Opposition sometimes mean you're very much on target. See, when Jesus is washing the disciples' feet at the end of his ministry, and the disciples are like, why is Jesus, our master, taking the position of a servant and washing our feet? Jesus, I would assume, is probably looking at them and understanding that they are quite confused in this action. And he says something interesting to them. He says, what I am doing, you do not understand now. But afterwards, you will understand. After you see me die, after you see me rise again, after you see me ascend into heaven, after you wait and receive the Holy Spirit, then you will begin to understand. See, there's some of us where we need to stretch our capacity through applying godly wisdom so that we can get to the but afterwards moments in life. Some of us have been hanging and waiting and wishing for that next season, that next checkbox to be hit in our lives. But God is saying, have you applied? Do you stretch yourself to be able to contain and hold what I'm about to give you? We have to push through to the but afterwards moments in our life. Amen? Amen. The next symptom understanding deficiency will show is that it will begin to feed a spirit of rivalry in us. See, I find it interesting that when Jesus is talking to the disciples in this moment, he asks them, have your hearts hardened? Do you not perceive? Do you not understand? When we have a place in our heart that has become hardened, it will divide us between others. It will divide us between the community that you are very much called to be a part in. And that division occurs through a rivalry. You know, instead of looking together to Jesus, I would assume they maybe just start looking against one another. Like, why didn't she remember to bring the food? Right? We start pointing fingers. This is that area in your life where you lack understanding, when you just can't seem to celebrate someone else's progress, someone else's promotion, without first assessing, are they worthy of it? And why not me? You know, it's that moment when you're flicking through Instagram and you see the like influencer in the perfect outfit with the perfect house and the perfect background, and you're like, it's not, oh, good for them. It's like, oh, that must be nice. Good for them. Right? Whatever frustration you have in your life is going to be the beginning of a judgment in your life. So we have to be so careful that we're not feeding this spirit of rivalry, that we seek to get understanding and apply it in our lives. Don't let someone else's success be your offense. Amen? Proverbs 17:27 tells us that whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man or woman of understanding. See, some of us just need to simmer down. We just need to calm down. I know we have triggers. I know we have pain points. I know we might feel justified to be bitter, to be angry. But this is where, again, we seek the wisdom of God and we apply it through working it out, through walking it out, by letting His Spirit be the calm spirit, the spirit of peace that guides us through life. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I just found myself working in retail because that was my background, and so that's just what I went in to pay the bills. And Jake and I, we got married really young, and I probably looked like I was 13 at the time, and I'm like ringing up a customer, and we had just had a wonderful interaction, like picking out our, you know, summer wardrobe for the year and all that fun stuff. And then she like catches a look at my ring, and I just will never forget this. She just looks up at me and she's like, don't you think you're a little young to be married? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say to her in this moment. I don't know what pain she's gone through. I don't know what her journey has been, but somehow my ring offended her to where I now became her enemy. See, we are in a day where we are so focused on getting ahead in life, through succeeding, through pushing ahead, finding our independence, that we have now separated ourselves and we've become so isolated. We find other people as a threat. We need to apply godly wisdom so that we can bring collaboration and camaraderie back to the table. I love it in 2 Corinthians 6:11-13. Paul is writing and he says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, widen your hearts also. When we can apply the wisdom of God, oh, we can choose to forgive. We can choose to turn the other cheek. We can put kind words ahead and hold back the harsh ones. We can have the calm spirit, church. I believe it. Do you believe it? Amen. The last symptom, understanding deficiency, that we're going to feed is insecurity. See, when you have a hardened heart, it divides you between you and the community that you're in, but it will also divide you to God. Why? Because it'll feed this insecurity that somehow, some way, Jesus in our boat just simply isn't enough anymore. See, the disciples sat in the boat with Jesus. They had seen him feed 5,000 people. They've seen him feed 4,000 people from just a few fish and loaves. But no longer did Jesus represent their security in that moment, and they were thinking of plan B and plan C. See, when we fail to see the fruit of God's word in our lives, we will seek out another's word. We'll seek out the plan Bs. And this is where we start to forget what Jesus has done in our lives. We forget that this is where what we stand on, what our foundation is. This is where our motivation of action is no longer driven by what Jesus has done for us, but by what man can do for us. This is that area in your life where no longer can you just be satisfied on knowing that you are affirmed, known, and seen by God alone, but you have to seek out a secondary source. This is that area in our lives where instant gratification overrides the eternal reward. See, when we lack understanding, the wisdom of God fails to stick. So we begin chasing out other things to fulfill us versus just knowing that we can be fulfilled by God alone. This is that looking in the mirror moment. And we just see our natural face. I don't know about you, but when I look at my natural face, I see everything that's wrong with it versus seeing the glory of God reflected in it. In the story that you read in John 12, there's this little encounter where Jesus has just finished teaching and sharing, and it says that there's all these authorities that believed in Christ, but it says they did not confess it out of fear that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, would kick them out of the synagogue. And as a result, it says that they loved the glory of man more than the glory of God. And I feel that sometimes that's what happens to us in these moments when we go and we seek out security from another source. See, the synagogue to these religious leaders, it would have represented their social status. It would have represented their family. It would have represented their purpose, everything. And so because they were scared to lose that, they didn't confess their belief in Christ Jesus. See, wisdom without understanding, it makes us susceptible to forgetting who we are in Christ. That we have everything that we need, church, that we are enough. May we never forget the miracle that you are. May you never forget that you have been uniquely, wonderfully crafted, fearfully made, that you are the image bearer of Christ Jesus, the price that he paid for his glory to be reflected in you. May we never forget the miracle of you. See, getting understanding, this is what will soften our hearts to Jesus again. It'll allow us to see the Jesus that is in us. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, and I will just close here. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Will you just stand with me here right now, church? Because I believe that there is a touch of refreshment, a touch of healing. There are places in our lives where we have become frustrated because of the lack of progress that we have seen. And I just want to take this moment to say, maybe this is time to reflect. Where have I allowed understanding to run dry? Where do I look in the mirror and I don't maybe see God reflected in my story? Maybe you've believed a lie that his glory has been removed from you. Maybe his reflection has become smudged. Maybe you feel that you've relied on the wrong wisdom source for too long. And maybe we've become just consumers of wisdom and fear has come in and it's kept us from applying what we know. You know, there's a little song we sing as children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe some of us, we've just gone a little too long with actually applying the revelation of that message in our lives. Can we bring back his reflection? Can we be doers and not just hearers of the word of God? If we just close our eyes and look to him right now, if you just want to take this moment to say, God, here I am. I want to right now just realign my ear with your voice. I want to apply your wisdom in this area. I want to soften my heart. I want to reconnect to your word. Will you just lift your hand here as an acknowledgement?